let us learn now, go further. We're learning to Lezeche Uli Nishmas of Mayor Appeldorf's mother. Peril Bas Yechil Michel. May her neshama have an aliyah. She have a lichtiger Gan Eden. Okay, let's learn over here. Let's go to the next pasuk. We learned yesterday HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared the Tolas, Balitz HaShachar, L'mochoros, V'taches HaKikoyon V'yivosh, and the Kikoyon dried up. Pasuk. We did pasuk Ches. Okay, we have the pasuk Tes. We are now up to pasuk Tes. V'yoymer Elokim El Yonah. So now Yonah, at this point in time, Yonah is very, very disturbed. And Yonah has prayed to die. And Hashem says to Yonah, Yonah, Vayom Elokim El Yonah, Ha Heitev Chora Lucha Al HaKikoyon. Is it correct for you to be angry concerning the Kikoyon? You're obviously very, very frustrated if you're asking to die. Vayomer, and he said, Heitev Chora Li Ad Moves. Yes. Okay, what a pasuk, okay? What do you get in such a pasuk? First of all, it's very interesting. In one pasuk, you have a question and a response. I guarantee if you're making the pasukim breaks, if you're putting the dots in this pasuk, you would separate this into two separate pasukim. And yet here, it's all one continuous statement. Let's go further. Vayomer Hashem. Hashem said, Ata chasta. This really is the... You know, the heavy response, the climax of Sefer Yonah. Vayomer Hashem, ato chasta al haki koyoin, asher lo amalta boy, v'lo gidaltoi. You did nothing to raise it. You did not toil for it, in it. V'lo gidaltoi, you did not nurture it. Shebin laila haya Ubin Laila Ovad. It's a very unusual word, Shabin. Shabin means, it's a hard, real hard word, but it simply means, that it's one day old. This entire Yon, this Tarki Koyon, it came into existence in the evening. It began to grow after it got dark, and by the morning it finished growing, and only lasted for the daylight hours until the next day. So, what are you so upset about? One day, what's one day? The whole thing came and went. You did not toil and you did not nurture it. So and it only lasted for one day. There's nothing to get upset about. Now the word bin over here means like Yoshua bin Nun. Ben. Bin is the same as Ben, which means it is a product, Ben Laila. It's a product. It's a hard word to translate in this context. We have to see more precisely. The Mitzvah Tzion says, it says, Bin Bechirik May Ben Besegel, V'chein Yoshua V'chein Bin Nun, Ritzon Elamar Bizman. Okay, that's very interesting. Yoshua Bin Nun, we always say, means Ben, and he the son of Nun. You can't say that about a Ki Koyon, that it's the son of something. And this context, every word is judged by its context. It means that the Zman, Shebin Laila, it is a product of the 12 hours of the night. The Mitzudah says, Ritzon Lema Bizman Laila, V'chein Keves Ben Shinosai. Okay, that's a very good example. That's something we can relate to, a Keves. Okay, a Keves is a lamb. Then, the Zman is it's within its first year. Never even thought about this. Okay, that means ben shenosai by a keves. What does it mean? A ben shenosai. It means zman. It means it's within a period of time of within its first year. In this context, the kikoyon is shebin laila haya uvin laila ovad. It only existed for 24 hours. It was nurtured, it developed and was nurtured within the evening. It lasted one day, and then the following night, the toilas ate away at it, and by the time it was Alessa Shachar, the Kikoyoin disappeared. So if this is true regarding this Kikoyoin, Va'ani Pasa Gidalif, Loy Ochus, should I not show compassion al Ninve Ho'ir Hagadola, this large city? That's how the Sefer began. Ninve was the Ergadola Sha Yeshba. Harbei Mishteim Esrei Riboy Adam has more than then 120,000 souls. Riboy is 10,000. 10,000 multiplied by 12 is 120,000 souls. Asher lo yoda ben yiminay lismayla. They don't know the difference between the right and the left. Gesundheit uvehemor abba. And there are many animals. That concludes the sefer. That now, obviously, you know, it leaves a little bit hanging. Okay, it's a very unsettling conclusion. Maybe on Yom Kippur, we're very happy that it's over because we're tired and want to go forward. But when you spend some time learning about it, it ends off on an unsettling note. So let's go back and take a look over here. Take a look over here at the Mefarsh from these three psukim: Pasuk Tes, Yud, and Yud Aleph. Pasuk Tes first in the Mitzudos Tavit. Mitzudos Tavit says, Hahe Teif, Behe Hasha'ela. Hashem is asking Yonah a question. Shashalo im oid horoloi al ovdon hakikoyoin ad moves. Ad she'evchar hamisa, is it really correct that you should request death because of the loss of this kikoyoin? Bavur ze oi return loimar al hamisa yechereli veloi enochem kol yime oilam. Or what he means to say is, on the misa, al hamisa yecher eli v'lo. I'm not sure what he means over here. Ad moves ad she'efcha hamisa bavur ze. I return leimar ad hamisa yecher eli v'lo enochem kol yimei oilam. I'm not sure what he means by this.
I will be angry or sad all the days of my life until death.
I will not be comforted.
It doesn't mean actually to die. It means, is it correct that you should maintain your anger, be a bitter person until you die? You know, he's saying over here, according to his suggestion, he's not asking to die. He's saying, Ad Mavis, I'm not going to kill myself, but I'm going to maintain, bear a grudge. I'm going to maintain an attitude of frustration and anger until I die, for the rest of my life. So Ad Mavis does not mean one of two things. Either means Yoina wants to die now, or no, I don't want to die. I'm going to live whatever time you give me in this world. Maybe I'll live until 120 years old, but I'm going to maintain my frustration, my bitterness, my anger Ad Mavis until the last day of my life. And Hashem says, is this proper? Is it proper that you should get angry concerning the kikoyoin? Now this goes back to before what he says. Let's take a step back. So he's going to explain the second part. One more time on the pasuk. Hashem makes a request of Yonah. Is it correct for you to get angry concerning the kikoyoin? Yonah responds, yes, I am correct. And he means to say one of two things. I want to die now. It is correct for me to be angry, add to such a degree, modest, that I demand that I die now. This moment. Number two, alternatively, it means, Vayoymer, Heitev Charoli, yes, it is correct for me to get angry. I don't want to die, but I will never change my mind. I will never forget the Avla that you've done to me. By taking away my Ki Koyoin, Ad Modes, I will maintain this anger until the day that I die. Okay, next words, Pasuk Yud. So Hashem responds, you did not toil, not to plant it. The amelus refers to the conception. The conception of the kikoyoin is to plow the earth, to plant seeds, to water it. The gidalta is the watering. There are two different terms over here. There's amelus and there is gidul. Amelus is conception, and the gidul is the watering. That's a very interesting description of these two terms, because most people would say just the opposite. Most people would say the word amelus has a connotation. When you take the two words and you contrast them one against the other, amelus and gidul, I think the average person would say the word amelus has a connotation of a lot more effort than the word gidul. Gidul means to raise. Amelus vayar es amoleinu. Hashem saw our amoleinu, our amelus, our toil. Vir chazal, in fact, say means zo gidul banim. They match it up. This refers to the la'omol yulad. Now, to have a child is relatively easy, correct? To have a child, it's an act that a person. What? For, I would assume for both. It's not, relatively speaking, a very when you're raising a child. to be mechanich a child, and to go out to work and earn enough money to pay the tuition and all that comes along with it, that is a nightmare. Okay, so to conceive a child relative to the toil that is involved in being mechanich a child, not letting a child grow like a weed without any discipline, any education, anything which goes along, it's nothing. Compare the two. The mice of conceiving is relatively nothing to what it means to be Megadol. And yet here, the two terms are exchanged when it comes to the Kikoyon. To conceive a Kikoyon means you plow the earth and you plant the seed. Those are the same two terms, by the way, that I use in reference to conception by human beings. Okay, there are different psukim that actually use those words as a metaphor for human conception. And then, once the woman is pregnant, and the child is born, the fun just begins. Then is the tsar gidul banim. Okay, there's no sleep for the first 6 months to a year until the child gets into a pattern of sleeping, and what comes along with chinuch habanim is unreal. That is the amelos. That is the hard toil. Yet here, when it comes to the ki koyoyin, look at what the mitzvah stuff it says. When it asher lo amalta boy v'loy gidaltai, the amelos is the charisha and the zriya. How long does it take to be choyresh, a little piece of earth, and plant a seed to produce a kikoyon? We're not dealing over here planting acres and acres and miles of land to produce enough wheat to feed a country. We're talking about planting one single kikoyon. How big is the kikoyon? How much space to take up? So you take a shovel and you plow a little earth and then you put a seed, you're done, you go home. And then comes the hard work. When the kikoyon begins to sprout, you have to prune the leaves, you have to water it, you have to fertilize it, you have to inspect it. The gidul is much, much more intense. Yet, isn't it interesting how the terms here are reversed? I don't know the significance. There's something over here that has to be understood. But this is what it says. You did not gidel to water it, to fertilize it. Ki aderech shadim chos umitztaer al avedas davar sh'amal boy. This is a mitzis in life. The more you invest in something, the more pain you have. Okay? I remember Rabbi Tauber always used to say, Rabbi Tauber, he passed away this year. He passed away this year at Pesach. Rabbi Zriel Tauber. He was one of the biggest experts, one of the biggest sort-out people on Shalom Bayis. It was one of his big, big things. Shalheves, he had an organization. The organization, I used to hear him speak at least once a year on Tisha B'Av. He used to always participate in this program. Dr. Mendel had a program on Tisha B'Av. He always would speak every year. And he would say that you always see that divorces are very ugly. Achman al-Litzlan. Why is it? Because the amount of effort and yegia that went into a marriage, Achman al-Litzlan, when it unravels, it's zeh l'umah zeh. There was so much love, work, effort, yigiyah, and the Rachman v'tzlan, when it doesn't work out, there's that much more pain. That's a reality of life. You have over here a kikoyon, Yonah. What did you do for the kikoyon? Nothing. Zero. You didn't invest one moment, one lift a pinky for this. So what are you so upset about? If you would have went and worked hard, okay, I could relate to this, yeah? It's not just a child, a business. Person puts in years and years, years, he loses.
Using the terminology here.
And a chanami, right, don't mourn as if it's a child, and don't even mourn as if it's a business. What did you do? You did nothing. And it's one day. I mean, what are you going to go work about? Yeah, sure.
I'm comparing the two Ahetev Haralacha. We had it before. Ahetev Haralacha, the first one, he didn't say Anirvei. He says the Ahetev Haralacha, Haralach. The first one, Yonah did not answer that. Did not answer that. Here, there's another one. I don't say about kikayon. I'm chara li about your action. You have something and you destroy it. I'm angry at you. This is the same situation that we had before.
Excellent. Okay. I hear what you're saying, but there's only one problem. Why then, what Rav Kalman is saying is, Rav Kalman, your last name again is? What's your last name? I forgot. Your last name? Shaloni. Rav Kalman Shaloni. He's saying is that back, let's go to what you're saying. He's saying something very profound. Back in what pasuk was it? Back before pasuk Dalet, Perek Dalet, pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Hashem Haheitev Chora Loch. Hashem asked him the question, the same exact question. Now it's not exactly the same. Here, there's a difference, nuance. Dear Hashem is not saying by name. It's not addressing by name. Vayomer Hashem Haheitev Chora Loch. Here. Vayoymer, by the way, here it's Elohim, because there are many differences. That's why I saw that. We'll discuss that. We'll come down later. Here it's Vayoymer Elohim, El Yoyna. There are two differences in how Hashem addressed him. Hashem here addressed him with the Midas Hadin. And here Hashem addressed him by the name Yona. Before Hashem did not address him by the name Yona, just Vayoymer Hashem. Before it was Yudke Vavke, Midas Harachamim. Here it's Midas Hadin. Here Hashem addressed him by his name. And the Nech HaHetev Chora Loch, notice also there is a difference in the Ta'anei HaMikra. That's also significant. Whereas Bavir HaHetev Kama, and then Chora Loch. Here, Vayomer Elohim Yidisadin, El Yoyna, he mentions him by name, and it's one statement. Ha-hei-tev chara l'cha. So it's one continuous statement. Okay, we have to discuss this. So you're asking, so in general, Hashem asked Yonah the same question twice. The first time he asked him the question was in regard to the fact that Yonah was upset that Hashem is about to show mercy upon the people of Nineveh. Here it appears that Hashem is asking him a question, why is Yonah, you upset about the loss of the Ki Koyoin? So in there, the question was, Yonah, why are you angry that I'm going to have rachamim upon Nineveh? Here Hashem is saying to Yonah, why are you angry that the Ki Koyoin withered away? There, Yonah doesn't respond.
He's not, because he's not. I'm angry at you.
You're on hoga, and you take it away.
Without any reason, without nothing, just you.
All right, so let's get the step. We'll do the steps first. There, Yonah does not respond. Here, Yonah responds. So now the question is, Rav Kalman's question is, to what is Yonah truly responding? is he responding to the second question, or now is he coming to respond to the first question, or to both questions? So you're suggesting that the response over here is not focused specifically on the second question. The response, Hashem, you asked me this question once, I didn't respond. Now I'm upset about something else, and you're asking me the question again. Now, I've reached the melting point. I've reached the point where I'm blown over, where I'm now going to respond to the first question, or I'm going to respond to all of your questions by basically challenging you. And I'm saying, I'm angry at you in general. I'm angry at you for everything, not just the kikoyoin. I'm angry what you're doing to Nineveh. I'm angry what you did to me on the ship. I'm angry about everything. Now, the problem, though, is if we're going to say that the response of Yonah here is to everything that Hashem has done to him, when Hashem responds, Hashem is only responding regarding the kikoyon. Pasuk Yud says, "Vayomer Hashem."
So he is now revisiting
Nineveh. So maybe you're right. Maybe since when HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Hashem responds to both, he makes a kal v'choimer between the kikoyoin and Nineveh. Okay, so and Nechanami. So that's an indication that when Yonah responded, he's not just responding, he's really responding to both. I'm responding to the kikoyoin, I'm upset, you took it away from me. And I'm angry regarding the fact that you were showing rachamim on Nineveh. So now Hashem, so now you're angry about both. Let's now use what is both, let's put them together, and let me give you my perspective. My perspective. So he's saying very, very good. This response, Vayomer Heitev Charali Ad Modes, is a response to both of Hashem's questions. Both in Pasuk Dalit and here in Pasuk Tes. He's just held back expressing himself until Pir Pasuk Tes. Okay, now Hashem is making the Kal V'chomer, which requires a lot of understanding. What exactly is the Kal V'chomer? How is Hashem really coming to answer Yonah's question? Excellent. Okay, that's a beautiful point. We still have to discuss the difference, the other differences, in when Hashem speaks to Yonah, why there it said Midas HaRachamim, and here it's Midas HaDin, and there he leaves out his name. Here Hashem mentions his name. There, HaHeitev, Kama, Chora, Lecha, and here it's in one expression, here it's one expression of one expression. We'll have to come back to that soon. Okay, let's first finish up the Mesilas David.
Nobody can dare to say, Hashem, what are you doing?
Why not?
Because it's not the way. Hashem is...
This is exactly the crux of the entire Sefer. That's exactly the issue. You're touching upon the issue, and this is exactly what Eov did. Eov and Yonah are two people that have actually challenged Hashem. And the truth is, it's not just Eov and Yonah. Yeshaya and Yirmiyah, Yechezkel. We learn these things every so often when they witness. Moshe also, when they witness, they see things that they don't understand, and they're frustrated, they do challenge Hashem. They do. Okay, let's go further. Let's cover some ground. So let's go further over here in the Mitzvot David. Hashem says to Yonah, what are you so upset about? You did not lift a pinky, a finger to work for this kikoyon. Now that I've taken it away from you, there's nothing to cry about. Shabin, the next words of the Mitzvot David is three lines from the bottom on page 445. Shabin Laila Hoya. The kikoyon disappeared overnight. There's nothing to be upset about regarding something which was only short-lived in this world. Arichas yamim, there's more reason to cry. It's very interesting when the person, think about what he just said. When Rachmana Lislam, we hear about a funeral of a young person, a person, a child. Oh, it's like the tragedy is just not to be believed. Okay, thousands of people, hundreds of people come, and the mourning is, the intensity is just not to be believed. Okay, a person a little bit older, it's also, you go to a funeral and a person's 100 years old, they tell the same jokes.
Nobody's there.
They're literally just making jokes.
There.
There's no one there, that's right.
There's
no one there. There's a graveside funeral. Graveside, you're all they are, so there's a graveside funeral. The person outlived, he outlived everyone. There's no one there to appreciate. You know, but what about the people that are living, the family? But then they're not mourning. Why?
Because they know he's
going to
go.
He's 100 years old. What do you expect? He outlived everyone else. We don't relate to him. V'chulu, v'chulu.
Very few die over 100 years.
Okay. but over here, the truth is, it's really just the opposite. This one, this puzzle, something that has been around for a very, very long time, the longer it's been in this world, the more tsar there is when it leaves. So even though the people in Echanami, they don't relate to the person that passed away because he's from a different generation, they don't know his whole life story, they have no clue. You see these people who passed away 100 years old. If only you knew what these people went through, what they saw. It's not to be believed. And you go to the funeral and they're just making jokes. It's just mind-boggling sometimes. And the truth is, but forget about that. Just put that aside. Just the fact that there has been here a human being, a Tzelem Elokim, in this world for a very long time, a century, is much, much more of a reason to cry than the loss of a young person who's only been in this world for a few years. And yet, olam hafach, we cry over the loss of a child more than we'll cry over the loss of a zaken. Now, Derech Agav, I just told you two things about Adi Chassiam I saw very recently. It shook me up a little bit. And that is, today, someone told this to me very recently. I mean, I read about this. I don't know if it's true, but if you'll Google it, they'll tell you that a child born today, Hayoim, born today, has a life expectancy of 104 years old. Okay, is that true or not? Who knows? I don't believe it. I personally, who knows? No one knows nothing. You're going to go tell me what's going to be in 104 years from now? Come on. All right, but listen, if they're making such a statement, let's assume they're correct. There's no question. There are awesome, awesome advances in science, and Baruch Hashem, we know that if a person takes care of himself, okay, if you take care of yourself, there's things out there a person does have opportunities today that did not exist years ago. There's no question about it, okay, and certainly we expect over the next century, even more advances to develop where people will live a healthy life. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us? So there are two things you have to be aware of when it comes to Adi Chassiyamim. Number one, Steinman said this. Steinman, he lived about 100 years old, something like 100, 102 years old. He said, Adi Chassiyamim is not so great. Why? The longer you're alive, the more din v'cheshbon you have to give. Person leaves this world at a young age, so he only has to give a din v'cheshbon for what he's here for.
But there's more mitzvahs.
What? But for every mitzvah a person does, how many nisyonos are there not to do mitzvahs and chas v'shalom do averes? So every additional day that is considered to be in the category of arichas yamim, a person is held accountable. What did you accomplish on that day? Had he not been around during those days, there is no din v'cheshboin on those days. Then you have not accomplished anything. That's there's a certain point. There's a transition point. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Is that it's right. It's a beautiful thing to have arichas yamin. But with arichas yamin, we don't think about the next world. We totally blot it out. blot it out. But when you think about the MS is in the next world is din v'cheshbon. So the longer person is around in this world, the more harsh the din v'cheshbon is in the next world, because there's a demand for more zman. That's one yisoid. The second yisoid is, why taka is it that now in ikvasa de Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a thing where there is arichas yamim? They're telling you on the news today that a child born today has a life expectancy of 104 years old. Why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem create the world in such a fashion? So the Balei Machshava tell us, we struggle with our nemesis, Esav. Esav is also the Ben Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The last of the Avos is Yaakov. And Yaakov had a brother, Esav. Esav was Toveya, the Bechora. It's my Bechora. I'm the Bechor. Yaakov had to steal the Bechora, v'chulu, v'chulu. Yaakov had to run away. Yaakov was away from his father for 22 years. And what happened during those 22 years? He was not Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kibud Av Vo'em. And Vayira Yaakov Me'oid Vayetzer Loi Maise Ovoi Simin Labonim. When Yaakov now had to confront his brother Esav, he was terrified. Vayetzer Loi Chazal say, it's a Chazal, Esav has the Zechus of Kibud Avoim. For 22 years, whether you like it or not, whether Esav was a phony, was a faker, bottom line is, he was the one who took care of his father. What? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as well. Correct. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as well. But let's focus on Kibud Av Vo'em. Yaakov did not have Kibud Av Vo'em. Be'ikvaso de Meshicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us an opportunity to mimesaken this that Yaakov Avinu was not unable to do. Now that we're living the times right before the coming of Mashiach, Hashem has enabled man to live extremely long. And with that comes, obviously, a lot of different issues when a person is a zaken. But they're not issues, they're opportunities. It gives the children of the door of the Ikvasa de Mashiach an opportunity to be Mekayim Kibud Avoein like never before. In previous generations, people didn't live this long. A person got sick. There was no modern medicine. There were no operations and techniques to extend a person's life. Person got sick, he passed away. Person was healthy, they were independent. Today, it's a mitzias that people live, Baruch Hashem, they live long lives, but by living a long life, it comes with a lot of difficulty. And they need a lot of help. And it's a very great challenge for the children to be mechabe their parents in a dignified way.
That's why they move their ways to another town.
Okay, all these different things. This is a golden opportunity that the Ribbono Shel Olam provided Klal Yisrael in this door leading up to Ikvasa Mashiach to be mesaken the tevia of Esav. Vayira Yaakov Me'oi, we're now coming to a time of confrontation with Esav. Ikvasa de Mashiach. Yaakov, when he went back to Eretz Yisrael after working for 22 years, Golos. Yaakov was away for 22 years. That is Mais Avol Simon Laban. Now it's Golos. The 22 years of working was Golos. Now he's coming back home to Eretz Yisrael. Mais Avol Simon, we are returning. We are in the process of returning to Eretz Yisrael. We see it in front of our eyes. The Yish of Eretz Yisrael. As we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we have to confront Esav. Esav is saying to us, why are you so special? Who do you think? You think you're the Am HaNivchar? We're just as good as you. We're the Bechor. You're nothing special. We are the Bechor. And we have to confront them. And we're afraid of them. Because they have zechuyos that we don't. They have zechuyos. They really do. Medina Shel Chesed, incredible zechuyos they have. And one of the zechuyos they have, Ma'is of a similar bond, and Esav served his father Kibud Av Vo'em. How are we going to overcome that? Hashem gave us an opportunity. He gave us arichas yamim for the purpose of being able to mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av aim like never before in the history of the world. So we have over here two different yamim. So this shook me up. Two different yamim of kibud av aim. Rav Steinman said, "You think it's so good, arichas yamim? Arichas yamim to live to 120 years old? You know what that means? It means din v'cheshbon. It means the person normally lived in the years ago." 80 years old was considered to be a zokin mufluk. Today, it's a youngster. 80 years old, you say so young. Okay, today, a person takes care of his health. He can look pretty 80 years old. You look like a youngster. 80 years, so you live to 120 years, another 40 years. 40 more years of din v'cheshbon. Not so pashat. Mitzad sheni, it's an opportunity of kibud avim like never before. Keneged Yaakov Avinu. Now going back over here to this thing over here, this very fascinating mitzvah David, is that the longer something is in this world, the more tsar a person should have. The shorter its existence in this world, the less tsar. See, that's probably one problem of life today. Today we live in a disposable society. Everything today is disposable. Car. It used to be a car. You buy a car, this is the car you have for your whole life. People, when they first had cars years ago, the car is 20, 30 years old. Today, a car is not expected to be on the street more than 5 years. Five, Cuba, 6 years. In Cuba. What?
In Cuba, they're there for 15 years.
Because that's all they have. They have our cars. They send them away. You go, you lease a car. You lease a car. It's not Kedai. 3 years. 3 years. The guy says to me, understand. After the warranty expires after 3 years. You have a warranty, bumper-to-bumper warranty for 3 years. Any little mashu on the car, you're not going to pay one penny. After 3 years, you got to pay out of your pocket for every little thing. It's not worth it for you. There's a lot of truth to it. If you're not driving, the other factors. So the whole society is no parking today because everyone is leasing a car. 3 years, gone. Okay, all these positions today. It's all different in the market, in the industry. Whether you're a lawyer, you're an accountant, many in the professional world, in the professionals, they don't stay in a job more than 3 years. You move around. A lawyer, it used to be, you're a partner in the law firm forever. You make partner, you're there forever. Today, it's laterals. You know what's going on today? Today, you just. It's a musical chairs today. Okay, university presidents. How long are they there for? University president. Every single university. You're there for 3 years, for 5 years, the most. Everything today is disposable. Because everything is disposable, nothing has meaning. Nothing has meaning. When things are around forever, then life has a whole different value. That's what he says over here. Yonah, it was here, it didn't exist yesterday, and it doesn't exist today. It was only here for 24 hours. What are you upset about? If it existed for a long time, I would understand you should be upset. Two different factors, Amelus and Zeman. It's a very unique combination to put these two things together to create a dynamic of value. If we don't have amelus and we don't have zman, there's no possibility for a person to connect, to relate to something of value. Next words of Pasuk Yudal, V'ani lo achois, Ritzayin lo'imar, Halay ninveh hi maisei yodai, ninveh is my creation, V'eich ani lo achois al ir gdele kazois. Now, here's something very, very interesting. I have a sefer I was preparing today, the sefer, Oitzreis, and he has a whole discussion here that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Hashem called an Omel. Hashem is infinite. Infinite beyond it. By a human being, there's something called Amelus. Is there such a thing by the Ribbono Shel Olam, Amelus? By the Ribbono Shel Olam, is there something called Zman? It's very, very, this pasuk, it touches upon Mamish, the root, the greatest fundamentals of Hashkafa. A human being is affected by two major things. Zman, we live in a world of time, it's linear. Hoya, hoive v'yiyeh. Number two, b'zeyas apecha toichal lechem. There is, Rebbechol, you quoted a pasuk. What was the pasuk you quoted before? Vayares amoleinu, vayares ongeinu v'yes amoleinu. Adam, excellent. Adam, that's the best pasuk. Adam lo omol yulot. These are two major themes. There is the theme. There is the theme of zman, hoya, hoive v'yiye, and there is the theme of the theme of Adam lo omol yulot. By the Ribbono shel Olam, there is no such thing as zman. Hoya hoive v'yiye. The name yudke vavke is a contraction of hoya. It's the overlap. You take the three words hoya, hoive v'yiye, and you put them together, and you come up with yudke vavke. The whole essence of Hashem's name means Hashem is l'maylam in azman. Now we don't tend to focus on the second element. Adam lo omol yulot. Man has to work, has to engage in training. Life is just pure training. And here is one of the few psukim in Tanakh which touch upon the second concept of the difference between the Ribbono shel Olam and man in regard to amelos. Here it says, Vani lo ochus al min vehir hagadayla asher yesh ba harbe mishem asaribo adam asher lo yoda ben yimin l'smelo vahim rabba. Hashem does not say that Hashem was omal in regard to creating these people. Hashem does not talk about zman. See, Hashem doesn't speak about zman. Hashem just says, you had mercy upon the kikoyoin asher lo yamalta boy v'lo gidalta yishmi lailo. Two different concepts, amelus and zman. Vani, should I not show rachm upon Nineveh? Now the Kal V'Chomer really doesn't follow through. It does, because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's no such thing as zman, and there's no such thing as amelus. Hashem vayomer Elokim yehi or vayehi or. Does it say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was okay? Does it say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was up the whole night? Was he up the whole night crafting and forming light? Doesn't say that. And the Mitzvah stuff and the other farsh we're going to discuss in more detail. Over here, the stuff he says, look what I'm talking about. Vani le'ochus, return to loymar. Whenever the Mitzvah stuff it says Ritzayin Eloymar, it's like Rav, he says Koloymar. You have to inject a lot of interpretation, embellishment into the Pasuk. Haloy Ninveh Hi, Rashi, Mitzvah does not say that it's my Amelos, because there's no such thing as Amelos by Hashem, because Hashem is infinite. Haloy Ninveh Hi, Ma'aseh Yodai, it's my creation. It's not my amelus. You, Yonah, you're not a creator. You're an omel. By Hashem, there's no amelus. It's creation. Masa yodai. V'eich ani le'ochus al ir gedoy le'kezos. Why should I not show compassion upon this very large city? Okay, next page. Harbe. What's the mile of this city? Ritzen alaymar. Yoyseh mishteim esrei. There are more than 1.2 million. Oh, two. Yeah. What? No. 120,000, not million. I'm sorry. 120,000, not million. 120,000 people. It's a city. It's not a country. Just as one city. Ashur may have millions. We don't know how many people were in Ashur at this time of the world. What happened to them? But it's a city. How many people are there in New York City? 8 million? 9 million? So this little city, Nineveh, is nothing compared to New York City. New York City has a population of, I think, 8 or 9 million people in total. Less, everyone ran away. Taxes, high taxes, and homeless problems, it went down quite a bit. It's a very great loss of revenue. We don't have a good mayor. The mayor doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand that. Okay, so...
For those days, that was a metropolis.
Right. 120,000 people was considered to be an enormous amount. Yep.
I want to defend the Kal V'Chomer.
Okay.
Because Nineveh, Ha'ir Hagdola, is mentioned in Chumash Bereshit.
Right.
Right.
A long time ago.
Right.
It doesn't become, from the beginning, 120,000 so forth. It's a development of...
A development,
Kayon bin Laila, and here Ha'ir HaGdolah, remember that? That Ir Gdolah, Asher Yeshra, now we have 120,000 people.
It took from the time of Maisa Bereshis, from the time when Noach, he built, he gave to the three his sons, what I said in the Pasuk, Noach, he gave to his sons, he, Ir HaGdolah, one of the cities there. So he's saying that this city developed from way, way back. So that's the reason why it says Ir HaGdolah. We're coming to reference the time of Maisa Bereshis as reminded that there is Zman. Even though by the Ribbono Shel Olam there is no such thing as Zman by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet it is a city relative to human beings that developed over 1,000 years, whatever the Zman over here was, 1,000, 2,000 years. And it didn't just come about in one. The development to 120,000 people took years to develop. That is equivalent to the Amelos. There is Zman. Gedoyla is maybe a reference to the Zman. Zman, because it says the word Ir Gedoyla back by Noach, and the number 120,000 represents Amelos, because it did not come about in one day. Okay, let's go further to the Mitzvah. Let's finish the Mitzvah. Asher lo yoda, asher kol echa mechem eino yodea lahavchen ben yemina l'smoyloi. Vehim ha-ketanim she'in lachshav lachem avoin. So here, Hashem over here is coming to have rachmanis upon the ketanim who do not know the difference. Ve'ein bohem oinish ela ba'avur ha'avoi. It's the only reason why they're being punished because of their parents. They had the collateral damage. Ve'kevan she'avois shavu, since the avois have done teshuvah, hinei heim b'loi oinish, they don't deserve to be punished. Ve'chein behem rabba, she'yesh bu'ir, she'ein lochem oinish, ve'al kol eila roi lochus v'lachmon. It's fitting that there should be compassion upon these creatures. What's interesting is that Shaul was not so lucky with this argument. Shaul was told by Shmuel to execute Amalek, every single last one of them, the animals and the women and children. And Shaul did not, listen, Shaul did not kill the women, he did not kill the animals, and he said, what do they do wrong? Shmuel said, gave you a direct order. It's not for you to challenge me. Here, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself is saying that the children who don't know Ben Yamin L'Smol and the animals that have no das are not deserving of punishment. So isn't that interesting? When it comes to Amalek, you have an obligation to obliterate them. Timche es zecher Amalek. Nothing should ever remain. Ninveh, Hashem, they're not Amalek. They're not Amalek. We have to take into consideration the innocent women and children and animals. Okay, so what's the difference? Amalek is so terrible. Is it so terrible? If you wipe out the men, we can't train the children to behave, to be God-fearing Jews? Obviously not. Hashem says no. But it's hard for a human being to understand that. Okay, these are the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
That's why the Barbanel has a very strong statement at the end of this, and he does the same argument at the end of Mikha. It says, mentions Titein Emes Liakov, Chesed Abraham, and it doesn't mention Yitzchak. Why not? Like you say, the Pasuk from Voltaire, why leave out Yitzchak? Because there's a place, Abraham and Yishmael, he said that the lesson is, Esav is, forget it, they get wiped off the face of the earth. In other words, as Amalek, because they didn't do any tshuva, there's no place, they will be obliterated for all time. B'nai Yishmael will continue to exist. And he's talking about, so Abraham had Yishmael, but Yishmael will come around to be the point of view of God.
He did teshuva.
He
did teshuva. They will never come around. They're a later generation. They're later, right? They're in Hanami.
So that's why he leaves out Yitzhak in his statement. He says he does it here and the same argument again.
In the Micha. Okay, let's see over here Rashi. Rashi, we have three Pesukim of Rashi, Pasuk Yud, on page 444, Loya Maltaboy. Hashem says to him, why are you so upset regarding the Kikoyon? You did not work Bacharisha, Uzuria, Vehashkois Mayim, three things. And Rashi over here, if you notice very carefully, Rashi puts the word Harisha, puts the word Hashkois Mayim with the word Amelos. Unlike the Mitsudois that takes the word Hashkois Mayim and connects it to Gidel. Okay, the Mitsudois David said he broke up. There are two different terms over here in this Pasuk. Pasuk Yud, it says, why are you upset about the Kikoya Shaloya Maltoboy Velo Gidaltoi? The Mitsudois says, what is the translation of Amelos? Harisha Uzuria. What is the translation of the word Gidaltoi? Mayim and fertilizer. And let's look at the Mitsudois. In the Mitsudois. In the Mitsudois, Asher lo yamalta b'charisha uvizria. Okay, on page 445 of the Mitsudois, David. Amelos is plowing and seeding. V'lo gidalto oisoy lahashkoisoy, water, ulezabloy, fertilizer. Rashi breaks it up differently. Rashi says the word amelos means three things. Charisha, zuria, v'hashkois mayim. What then is gidul? Silent. Silent. Okay, what does the Targum say? Pasuk Amar Hashem at chas al kiko yondula at maltabe v'lo rabbi say. No comment. The Targum Yonis and Menuzil also does not want to comment on these two words. Rashi leaves us hanging. He doesn't want to translate the word gidaltoi. Okay, I also must turn to the Mitzvah. He says the pella because the word amelos l'cha'ora has a connotation of much more toil than the word gidaltoi, and the Mitzudas David is coming saying just the opposite. Okay, well, I don't know how much you can be daik.
Amelos is a specific task, and gidul is no sheer to what you can do for gidul.
Yeah, but the word amelos has a connotation of adam le'omol yulad.
You do specific things
Okay, whatever it is. Just let's no that Rashi leaves out. Let's go further than Rashi. Shabin Laila. What is Minkamo Ben Laila? Legadal Ella Laila Echad. So basically the word Ben, he seems the Mitzudos said a very powerful idea, it means Zaman. Is Rash saying the same thing over here? Legadal. It did not grow. Ella Laila Echad. Doesn't really say what the word Ben means. What does the Targum say? Di Veloyavi say Di Vilelya Hadain Hava Vilelya Ochorona Ovad. Okay, also, the Targum doesn't seem to really translate very precisely the word bin in this context.
It can't be ben because the kikayon tree is a self-pollinating tree.
So it can't be a child. So a keves, as the Mitzudas quoted the Pasuk, with regard to a lamb, a keves. Okay, a keves. And there it says, what was the pasuk? He said, "Shabin Laila, v'chein keves ben shinasai, a keves ben shinasai." So, what's the word "ben" in that pasuk mean? It means a child? No, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds ben a zman. It is within a time period of it being within its first year. It's a beautiful proof. The word ben in the Torah doesn't just mean a biological child. It is a definition of zman. It's coming to define zman. Ben, it is a period of time. What is that period? Shinasai. Here it fits perfectly. Now, the Rashi doesn't bring out that point. Rashi just says, V'l'kumo ben laila, le'gadal ela laila echad. Okay, so maybe L'chai Rashi means the same thing as what it says in the Mitzvah. He just brings out the point that the word means zman. Next Rashi. Asher lo yoda kitanim. We're describing children. Children do not know ben yiminoi lismlo. They're right in the left hand. Behema rabba bnei adam gidolim v'daitan kebehema adults. So here Rashi says something really way off the charts because the Mitzudas David clearly said behema means animals, real animals. Ben yimin lismlo means children, adults. We're not discussing according to the Mitzudas. Many times you cannot appreciate one rishon. One is not a rishon Mitzudas, but you cannot appreciate what a commentator really is saying unless you contrast what he says with another commentator. And here's a great example. Rashi Mitzuda says, when it says the pasuk ben yamin l'smol, it means children. When it says animals, it means really animals. So what about the adults? So the Mitzuda stuff, it says, the adults, they deserve to have mercy because they did teshuva. That's what it says previously. They did teshuva, and therefore they deserve mercy. Once they deserve mercy, so of course the children and the animals deserve mercy because they're not really guilty. And that means if the adults would not have done teshuva, then enochinami, the children and the animals would suffer as collateral damage. But now that the adults have done teshuva, there's no need for there to be collateral damage. That's not what it says in the Mitzudos and Rashi. Rashi says the adults deserve to die also. Oh, but they did teshuva. Obviously, their teshuva was not enough. They did teshuva. But Hashem is still going to show them compassion. And when it says here the word of Ehim Rabbah, that's a code word, an expression to mean adults. Adults that behave like animals. That's what Rashi says. Asher lo yada ketanim. Uvehim rabah, b'nei adam gedoilim. Adults. V'datan, their intellect is kivehema. Like animals. She'enam makirim mi bira'am. They don't recognize who is their creator. Okay? The goyim, this Nineveh. Nineveh. We're describing Nineveh. Hashem over here is saying, should I not show them? They, right, and exactly what Hashem is saying to me. He's saying they deserve to be saved because they don't know any better. Hashem is saying to Yonah, Yonah, do not be upset that I'm going to save the people of Nineveh. What do you want from them? The children don't know being yamin l'smol. They don't know the difference. The adults, they're like animals. So an animal, do you go out into the street and kill an animal? You don't just kill animals. Animals also have rights to live. No? Animals also, there are animal rights in this world. You see over here, the Ribbono Shel Olam is according to Rashi, the Machlokes with Rashi, they're saying the same idea. The animals have rights. It's not proper to just wipe out animals. Therefore, if human beings are in the same status of animals because they don't recognize their creator, and that means there's something fundamentally wrong in their intellect, so they don't deserve to die. Now, question, this is a general question. Do indeed animals know who their parents are? Okay?
Yes.
So the mother, yes.
Yes, yes.
Not the father. Fathers generally not. Okay?
Depends on the animal.
What? Depends on the animal. But most animals, it's a very interesting idea, most animals don't know who the father is.
They don't know the mother is either after they finish nursing.
So the mother, not necessarily. Not, that's a very tough question. Depends on the animal. Most animals appear to know who their mother is. The mother raises the child, and even when the child becomes an adult, the child is aware where they came, knows, recognizes their mother.
They don't raise them that long.
Whatever it is, but they did have an awareness of who gave them who. Most animals, not me, not every animal, most animals. But the father, an animal, think about it, does not know who the father is. There's no way for it to know who the father is. There's no relationship between the child. This is one of the most fundamental differences. This is one of the most fundamental differences between a human being and an animal. Talk about. We always like the dibur, the koyach hadibur, the ability to communicate, to speak. That's true. But there's something even more fundamental, more elementary in that. And human beings, they stand straight, right? They stand erect on two legs. Animals are on four. But there's something more fundamental. And that is a human being knows who his father is. Even a human being who has very little intelligence, he knows who his father is.
Most of them.
But an animal does know. Now you'll say you don't really know your father. The Gemara says, you're right. How do you know? How do you when a person Rachman Litzlan, if he curses his father, he's chayiv misa. If he causes his father to bleed, he hits his father, and his father loses blood, he's chayiv misa. He's chayiv misa. Question: why chayiv misa? How do you know it's your father? How does a person know? This, so what's the answer? It's a very good question. Why is a person taken to Beis Din and they say Yichayiv Misa, you curse your father, you cause blood? The guy, he says, he's not my father. What an accusation, right? scandalous accusation. No, you're potter. You're potter, for sure potter. How? Why is a person the chayiv misa? So you know the answer is, you're right. We taku don't know that it's your father, but let's ask you, do you know who your mother is? Do you know who your mother is? Yes, I know this is my mother. How do you know? Well, there are witnesses. The witnesses that saw that she gave birth to me. Pretty much everyone, it's a mitzvah. Is she married? Is she married to someone? Yeah. Who is she married to? This guy. This guy standing here. How long have they been married? 50 years. Consecutively? Someone told me they went to a wedding, a 50th wedding anniversary, and they said, Baruch Hashem, we were married 50 years consecutively.
Do you think
consecutively. It's also a mile, right? It's not just 50 years. So is she married to this man? Yeah. For how long? 50. How old are you? 25 years old. Okay, so we're going to kill you. Because if this is your mother, and this woman is married to this man, and they've been married longer than you've been, than your age, we have to assume Roiv Be'ilois Achar Habal. Roiv, you're killing Roiv. We don't have to know anything about you and him. All we have to know is, did you go and cause him to bleed? The answer is yes. All we have to know is, how old are you? And we have to know, is this your mother? Is your mother married? Yes, to this man. They've been married longer than you exist in this world. Then we apply a principle in halacha that a married woman, most of the time she has marital relations, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, roi bilois achar habal. And that means it's likely that she conceived from this person, roiv, and that's enough to kill you. Okay, so you go basar roiv. A human being, that it's very interesting, think about this. A human being, when it comes to being makir, his father, is based on roif. It's not 100%.
Right.
But it's based on roif. This is my father. Animals don't have that. Okay, animals don't have that. A human being, that's why a human being is spiritual. Because a human being, once you makir who your father is, Roiv, it's not a Vadai, Roiv, there's an expectation to be Maker Avinu Sheba Shamayim. If an animal doesn't have the ability to recognize who his own father, who its own father is, so you can't expect an animal to go further and be Maker the Avinu Sheba Shamayim. But a human being that does have that advantage, that Maila of knowing where he came from, who is the cause of his existence in this world, that automatically triggers him to expand that principle and recognize who is the ultimate creator, the ultimate of him. Okay, so this is Rashi. Rashi obviously have a lot more to do to finish up this Sefer. Okay, we'll spend maybe a few more days on this, and then we will go to Nifa. We'll stop here.